Hi there, my name is Jack Christie. In this video, I'm going to present you the full gospel of Jesus Christ, what God wants everybody to know, and that is that when you die, you can be 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. Starting in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, God writes, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So God's explaining that we can know for sure that when we die, we'll go to heaven, we'll have eternal life, and it's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, just believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ is not enough to save us, to take us to heaven when we die. The core message of the Word of God found in the Holy Bible, the uncorrupted King James Version, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants us to know and what actually saves us. Starting in Romans 3:23, the Bible reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in Romans 3:10, God writes, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." So what God's telling us is that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of his glory. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, God explains to us, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." So here we learn that sin is the transgression of God's law. And continuing in Romans 6:23, God tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So I want to focus on the first portion of that scripture, "For the wages of sin is death." When I go to work, what I earn is a wage, but when I sin, what I earn is death. And when the Bible talks about death, it explains there is more than just the first death, the physical death, but there is also a second death, a spiritual death. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, God writes, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So God explains to us that whosoever is not found written in his book of life, that person's soul will be cast into hell, into the lake of fire, eternally as a punishment for their sins. And God gives us a list of sins that condemn people to the second death in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, where the Bible reads, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So God here giving us a list of sins, some of which are extremely bad, but I want you to note the final sin he mentions. He mentions all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we've all lied at least once. And in James chapter 2, verse 10, God writes, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So God is holy, God is just, he is perfect. And one lie is enough to condemn us to the second death. But God is love, he loves us. He's not willing that any should perish and all should come to repentance. Repentance in the Bible specifically means to turn from something. And in this case, to turn from our dead works and unbelief of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to belief in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible reads, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God explaining to us that we have a Savior found only in his Son, Jesus Christ. And going back to Romans 6:23, where the Bible reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I want to focus on the second portion of that scripture now, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So the Lord here is explaining that the gift of salvation, eternal life, is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So before we can be saved, we need to know exactly who Jesus Christ is, the Jesus Christ found only in the Holy Bible. Believing that Jesus Christ was a prophet, a great man of God, of course, who did many wonderful miracles, such as healing the blind, the maimed, the sick, raising people from the dead. Of course, famously, he walked on water. But what we must believe and understand is that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God in the flesh. In John chapter 1, the Bible reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And continuing in verse 14, the Bible reads, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Here the Bible is calling Jesus Christ with a capital W, the Word. And what we're learning here is that the Word is God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible reads, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." So what we learn is God is three distinct persons in one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. This is the triune God of the Holy Bible. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible reads, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." So God the Father here addressing his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as God. So the Bible is very clearly teaching that Jesus Christ wasn't just a man. He was, in fact, the God-man. He was God in the flesh. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, a very famous passage of the Bible, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So it is only possible to get to God through God's Son, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not possible any other way. And to make one final emphasis of this fact, God says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Of course, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know who Jesus Christ is. We know he is in fact God in the flesh. But now we need to know what Jesus Christ has done for us. The Bible reads in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, speaking about the Lord Jesus. It reads, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So the Bible is explaining that Jesus Christ, when he was crucified at the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago, he actually took on all of our sins. He bore them in his own body. All of our sins, past, present, and future. And the Bible reads in 1 John chapter 2, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." So Jesus Christ died for the whole world, that we might be saved. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 31, the Bible reads, "He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption." So here we learn that after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and accomplished the full atonement for all of our sins at the cross at Calvary, his soul descended into hell for 3 days and three nights. Jesus Christ is the only one out of all the religions in the world that took our punishment upon himself in hell so that we don't have to go there for eternity. And we learn that Jesus Christ rose from the dead bodily on the third day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." And we learn that on the third day after his death, he rose from the dead bodily, having accomplished the full atonement for our sins, before ascending up into heaven, where he currently is sat at the right hand of the Father, albeit he is omnipresent. The historical event of Jesus Christ resurrecting from the dead and conquering death is so significant that the timeline that we live in, that the year that I'm filming this in, 2020, is 2020 AD, which stands for Anno Domini, which being interpreted from Latin into English stands for in the year of the Lord, which is specific to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the Christ, Christ being translated from Kyrie Greek means Messiah, and he is the Messiah that the entire Old Testament prophesied of, and that the whole Bible is based on. Now God of course tells us how we can be saved. In Acts 16, verse 30, a man asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So the Bible's teaching, to be saved, we just need to believe. God doesn't say you have to do good works, you have to go to church, you have to be baptized, you have to turn from sin, which is impossible, by the way. The Bible says even the thought of foolishness is sin. Unbelief is sin. To be fearful is sin. It is impossible to not sin. We all sin many times every day without even knowing it in many cases. And yes, of course, God wants us to do good works and do good things and live according to his commandments. But when it comes to salvation, all we must do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, put all our faith on him, nothing of ourselves to get us to heaven. Because going back to Romans 3:10, the Bible says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous." And the prerequisite to salvation is believing on him, his death, burial, and resurrection, whereby we have his righteousness imputed on us in God's sight. The most famous verse in the whole Bible, John 3:16, the Lord writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." A lot of people do not comprehend the fact that our salvation is purely based on our faith. It is a gift from God. And God cannot be more clear on this fact. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, the Bible reads, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So God's telling us here, by his grace, through our faith, we're saved. It's not of our own works. It's a free gift. So an example would be, if I was to say to you, "Luke, I'm going to wash your car for free as a gift." And then a couple of weeks later, I come back and say to you, "Luke, can I actually have some money for that?" At that point, is that a gift? No, it's not. So what God's saying here is our salvation is based purely on our faith. It is a free gift from him. We cannot work for it. And God writes in Isaiah 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." So God explaining here that our works in regards to being saved are as filthy rags to him. The thought of us being righteous and working our way to heaven in the sight of God to him is offensive. He's not saying that he doesn't want us to do good works, but he's saying in regards to our salvation, it means nothing to God. If we could earn our way to heaven, then why did the Lord Jesus Christ have to come down and suffer such a horrific death at the cross, and then his soul had to go to hell for 3 days and three nights to pay for our sins? It's purely our faith in Jesus Christ's finished work at the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection that saves us. To further emphasize the fact that our salvation is purely by faith and not of works, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, God writes, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." And in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, God writes, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." God hammering the point that it's just by the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ and putting our faith in him that saves us. And one final passage to complete this point. In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, God writes, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work." So God hammering the point here that none of our works, none of our righteousnesses are acceptable in his sight. The only thing that saves us is putting all our faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Now we understand that it's only our faith that saves us. But what would happen if, God forbid, when we're saved, we commit a really bad sin? What would happen if a saved Christian were to commit something as bad as murder? I'll give an example. There's been a series of really horrible and painful circumstances that have happened to a born-again Christian. This Christian goes to a bar, gets drunk, ends up getting into a bar fight and actually kills somebody. Will that Christian lose their salvation? The answer is no. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can never lose your salvation. God promises us that we'll pay for all of our sins in this life. He will not hold us accountable for them in the next life. And God says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So what God's explaining is once you're saved, once you're born again, adopted into his family, and you become his son or his daughter, he will chastise you, he will chasten you for your sins. So God forbid, in the circumstance of the example I gave, the Christian who ended up killing somebody, this person, providing they truly were saved, God promises he will punish him for his sin on this earth. That could mean that he sends him to jail, afflicts him with disease, bad things will happen to this person, but he will not lose his salvation. Further on in Hebrews 12, starting in verse 9, the Bible reads, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So what God's explaining here is just like our biological father, when we were younger, if we were badly behaved, we would be disciplined and told off. In this case, God is our father. Just because we commit sins or a very bad sin does not mean God disowns us. He is always our father. He will never disown us. Just like your biological father will always be your biological father, God will always be your God, your father. And God tells us in Titus chapter 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So when God promises you eternal life through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were a born again Christian that could lose your salvation, that would make God a liar, because he promised that once we're saved, we have eternal life. And if we were to lose it, that means it wouldn't have been eternal in the first place. And we know that God cannot lie. So once you're saved, you're always saved. And Jesus Christ says in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus promising us that once we've believed on him, he will never cast us out. He will never disown us, no matter what. Continuing in John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So we know without question that once we're saved, we're always saved. We can never lose our salvation. The Bible says that we're sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. God says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, God loves us. He wants us to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to perish and suffer the second death. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says in Romans 10, starting in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I'd like to ask you, if you understand that we're all sinners and our sin has condemned us to hell, but Jesus Christ died for our sins, he atoned for all of our sins, he was buried and he rose again from the dead, and Jesus is Lord, and the only way we can be saved is by putting all of our faith in him, nothing of ourselves, just purely our faith in God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and you understand that this is a gift that you cannot work for and you cannot lose, then I'd like to pray with you. Now, this prayer in and of itself does not save us. It's the faith in our heart on Jesus Christ that saves us. If you believe, then I'd like to pray with you. Let's bow our heads and pray to God and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe that I am a sinner and my sin has condemned me to the second death. But Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and he rose on the third day, Lord. Father, I'm putting all my faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, I accept that free gift of salvation. I'm putting all my faith in Jesus, nothing of myself, Lord. Please save me. Thank you, Lord. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so if you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you're saved. God bless.